Hello and welcome to the Travel Commons Podcast. My name is Mark Peacock. This is the fourth Travel Commons Podcast. Today is Thursday, June 2nd. The theme of this week's podcast is the good stuff about travel. Listening back on last week's podcast, it seemed a bit negative, a bit of a rant. Maybe I had one too many run-ins with the TSA folks. No talking about TSA this week. This week we're going to bring a bit of balance, swing the pendulum back toward the center, and tell some good stories about travel, about how people enjoy business travel. Coming to you this week from the bathroom of the LAX Westin, I decided to kick the Marriott habit and check out the Westin. Actually, this is a nice hotel, the LAX Westin right on Century Boulevard. I've always enjoyed this hotel. I'm on a California swing this week. I flew into Orange County yesterday. We'll fly out of LAX this afternoon up to San Francisco, and then on Friday head home in the morning, hoping to score an upgrade on the United flight back four and a half hours. That's definitely worth the upgrade. Before getting to the main part of the show, I want to thank the folks who left comments on the podcastalley.com bulletin board. I'm glad you're enjoying the podcast, and thanks for voting for me, but more importantly, thanks for the kind words. Also, thanks for pointing out the problems with leaving comments on the Travel Commons website. Turns out that the default installation of the PostNuke software that I use for the site, that default installation doesn't allow non-registered users to leave comments. So I spent some time this afternoon spelunking through the admin menu, and so now anyone should be able to leave messages whether they're registered or not. I actually, just to spin the propeller a little bit more, I use PostNuke rather than a blog package like WordPress to keep the first page or that entry page light. Not too much scrolling. A lot of the blogs that you get to, you just scroll and scroll and scroll. And I wanted to avoid that. However, the trade-off on that is that you've got to click through on each entry to get to the full show notes. I'll put some more explicit instructions in that abstract that appears on the first page about the need to click through to see the show notes, because I think folks want to be able to get a sense. That's where I put links and the like. So today we're talking about the good side of travel. Too often, as business travelers, we don't take advantage of the opportunities that our travel gives us. I've been triangulating through LA quite a bit since the beginning of the year, kind of bouncing between Phoenix, LA, and San Francisco. And I can probably count on one hand, with some change left over, the number of times I've seen the beach. And I'm not even talking about walking or touching the beach. I'm talking about just seeing it. Last Friday was a perfect example. I flew in from Phoenix on the first flight into Orange County, caught a cab over to a meeting in Costa Mesa, was dropped off back at the airport, and was on the plane to Chicago, back to Chicago by 1 in the afternoon. I could have been in any city. It didn't have to be in LA. I could have been anywhere. And that's an easy habit to get into. First flight in the morning, take your meeting, take the last flight out. Or if you can't get back, if you can't get the last flight out, as oftentimes when you're out on the West Coast, then you go back to the hotel room, order some room service, and pound out a bunch of stuff on the PC until 11 p.m. So I'm trying to alter this these bad habits of burying myself in meetings and hotels a little bit. Last night, I treated myself to a full beach dinner experience. Fish tacos and a Pacifico beer at Wahoo's on Manhattan Beach. And now you'll hear some sounds from my iRiver on the walk I took down to the end of the pier at Manhattan Beach. Okay, well, I refuse to do sound sync tours. I will record while I walk out to the end of the Manhattan Beach pier. It's about 10 past 6 at night.
Daddy, I'm gonna race you!
Get where?
coming up here.
And then the follow-on beer at the Manhattan Beach Brew Pub.
Hey, not bad.
We'll get it quick.
Well, I don't know. I'm trying to decide between the South Bay Bitter ESP and the Hophead IPA.
I like Hophead. So actually, the hoppier, more bitter than the bitter is. A lot more flavor.
So.
Menu as well?
No, just having a beer.
Just $3.
There you go.
The BlackBerry is vibrating with messages demanding my attention, but I'll tell you, it's going to have to wait for an hour or so. Every once in a while, you just got to see the beach.
Appreciate it.
Before we get to segment number two, I just want to let everybody know that I'm going to start posting a few images along with the text in the show notes. So actually, if you go back to last week's notes, you'll see some of the philosophy cards that were left on my pillow at the Camelback Inn by the turndown service. If you remember last week's podcast, I read some of those out loud from the shower of the Camelback from the Camelback Inn. Hopefully, the quality of this podcast is a little bit better. I see that tile didn't shower, but remembering the quality from the Camelback, I'm avoiding too much tile this time. But anyhow, we'll have those images posted. And actually, I've got a couple of cell phone camera shots from the Manhattan Beach Brew Pub that I'll try and post also. This is my business traveler's predilection for taking the aisle seat and once the flight takes off, immediately popping open the laptop and starting to pound away at work really means we miss some beautiful views, especially on some of the longer flights. A few weeks back, I ended up in a window seat on a flight home from Phoenix. At the time, I thought, well, okay, it's better than a middle seat, but only slightly. And then, because I was cramped and the guy in front of me had powered his seat back, I didn't pop open the laptop right away. And instead, I just started looking out the window. And it was different for me. As I looked out, as we rotated up and out of Sky Harbor Airport, I could see the hills of Phoenix. Now, they call them mountains, Camelback Mountain. They're really hills. And it was interesting how they interrupt and curl that the grid blocked and etched sprawl that has become Phoenix. As you head east, you see the abrupt transition at the Loop 101. You got suburbs within, farmlands, wastelands, quarries outside of the loop. And then continuing east, you end up, and if you keep looking, you see the mountains of New Mexico. And there's no sprawl here, and the mountains actually look real. They now look like real mountains, tall, rugged, craggy. Rising out of the desert floor, there's nothing but brush and dirt that curl around them. And continuing further east, and this was a record for me paying attention and looking out a window this long, the landscape flattens out. Is it Oklahoma? Is it eastern Colorado? Is it Kansas? You can't really tell out here. But it's interesting. It's a continuing patchwork of cultivated squares and circles, influenced more by the roads and the irrigation methods than by the landscape. And the roads slash through at diagonals, just punctuated periodically with towns, sort of buildings clustered on each side of the road. At 30,000 feet, The isolation of these towns, is you can see it in a heartbeat. It's immediately evident. A quick turn of the head shows you just sort of how far, how many squares of fields you'd have to drive by to get from one town to the next. And it gives you a sense, a real sense of the spaces in the middle of the country compared to, say, the East Coast or on the West Coast around L.A. How different this is than sort of the Phoenix sprawl or the New York sprawl or the L.A. sprawl or sort of the endless grid of yellow, low-sodium lights that is the nighttime approach as you go into LaGuardia or the towers that stand on Lake Michigan when you're approaching Chicago from the east. So again, as we sort of fly away from the sun as we continue to move east and the ground below is dark, all you see are these small clusters of white lights amid these very long stretches of dark land. And you wonder to yourself, how often do those bright dots connect themselves along the dark roads? Before we get into the last segment, I wanted to just mention something I noticed the other day. My website stats package shows the search strings that people use or people have used to get to my site. It was interesting, a few days ago, someone showed up on the site, and I think they came in through Yahoo, and the search string they entered was Cabo San Lucas prostitutes, which was interesting because I haven't written anything along those lines. And I went back and looked at the site, and it looked like that whatever Yahoo or Google had and kind of concatenated in crawling the site had sort of concatenated the Hungarian roadside prostitutes from show number one with Ways to Vacation in Cabo San Lucas from show number two, and somehow that became a hit for Cabo San Lucas prostitutes. I got to think that that the person who entered that and ended up at the Travel Commons website came away, it had to be a bit disappointed.
On the road again, going places that I've never been.
The last segment on today's Good Stuff of Travel podcast is some thoughts around and some examples around how travel does change your views and actually sometimes changes your whole life. It changed the life of a colleague of mine. He's an former advertising executive, owned his own agency and sold it to one of the large global advertising conglomerates and worked for them for a while. And then he and I hooked up at an e-commerce startup. And then after the internet bubble burst, he was on his own, and he actually picked up a client that was down in Brazil. And he started traveling down there regularly and just fell in love with the country. And as that travel sort of began to wind down, he couldn't separate himself necessarily from Brazil. And he tried to open a Brazilian restaurant in Washington, D.C., which is where he's from. But unfortunately, it didn't get out of the gate for a number of reasons. After sort of cleaning that up, he just decided to chuck it all, and he moved down to Brazil, opened a restaurant, and it's been a smashing success. He sent me a note last month, and he said, "Well, 1 month has passed since the restaurant has opened, and it's been a life-changing experience in many ways. Before, I could barely make the 10 p.m. shows as I was getting ready for bed, and I was up with the birds. Now I get home 6 nights a week at 3 a.m., never hear the birds in the morning. Before, the thought of speaking to more than 6 people in a day was an alien thought. And now my life is all about chatting up customers, those who understand English or manage to sit through my fractured Portuguese. From recluse to night owl master host, absolutely an interesting turn of events." And he's thrown himself into it. He said his restaurant's going well after 1 month. They've had 1,500 people without a lot of publicity and only open for dinner. They've been covered by Vogue Brazil, which is one of the top magazines, and a couple other local magazines like Top. And indeed, he said his chef is getting his own interviews or own reviews in food magazines, and the Brazilian version of The Apprentice has contacted him and wants to do the final episode of the season in his restaurant. But he talks about, and he's in Sao Paulo, and he says, you know, with the language and the taxes, he said, sometimes you lose sight of what the country has to offer and the people who are such a joy. Interesting place to live and rich in a texture that is often lost in the States. He said it's now the beginning of fall and the temperatures move from the 80s to the 70s. And he says everyone has moved to gloves and scarves and down parkas. He says you go to the mall in shorts like he does, and he says everybody looks at him like he's from Mars. Sao Paulo, he says, is a host of extremes. On the streets, you have guys pulling two-wheel carts collecting scraps of cardboard to sell, and overhead you hear the sounds of private helicopters hopping from one rooftop to the other, since there are more helicopters per capita in Sao Paulo than any other city in the world because the traffic is so bad. He says he has to pay his workers transporto every week, which is the bus fare, as many of them don't have the 3 reals, about $1 fare. But then, you know, you see these, he says, you see bulletproof Ferraris whizzing past the bus stop. It's an interesting texture, he says, of life inequality. But still, he loves it, and it's changed him, and it's changed him significantly. And if it weren't for the business travel that had him going down to Brazil, he'd still be sort of huddled in his house in Northern Virginia, talking to fewer than six people a day and walking his dog. So I think it talks about really the transformational properties of travel. Okay, that's it. That's a wrap on Travel Comments Podcast number 4. Thanks again for listening. I appreciate any comments that you folks could have. I again appreciate and thank you very much for the comments that folks have left on the travelcommons.com website. Should be easier to leave comments there now that I fixed the permission problem, so that anybody can leave comments there. You don't have to register with the website. And also thanks for the folks who've been leaving comments and voting for us on podcastalley.com. Also, comments at travelcommons.com is the direct website. Leave me any thoughts, either written, or if you want to send me a MP3 file, we'll feed you right into the next Travel Commons podcast. So take care and good travels. Bye now.